When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our hosts, Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton.
Hey, thank you for that. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, welcoming you into the program today and to introduce our special guests. They are professional Christian life coaches, Chuck and Ashley Elliott. They recently sat down with my son and co-host Zach Clinton to have a conversation about our relationships, about love and marriage. Our subject, again, is getting love and marriage right. You may be married, you may have been married, or you may be praying God puts someone in your life. Regardless, today's conversation hopefully inspire you and provide a lot of insight. Chuck and Ashley provide services in person and online. You ought to check them out. Their website, chuckandashley.com. That's chuckandashley.com. If you want both a man and woman's perspective and you're willing to put in the work and need real change, Chuck and Ashley, they're your marriage coaches. Let's join Zach with them now.
Mr. Chuck, my friend, thank you so much for joining us today.
Man, I'm excited to be here, Zach. This is going to be fun.
And your better half, Ashley, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thanks. It's an honor. Excited to chat.
We have the same heartbeat, right, when it comes to the local church and the need for walking alongside of the broken and hurting. I love your guys' hearts. I love your guys' ministry, no matter what lane that looks like. Yeah. I know you guys are continuing to pursue the calling and the purpose that God has placed on both of your lives. And to see you guys do it together is so unique. I know that you guys just talked about a lot in terms of marriage. You guys are here filming some courses for us on intimacy, what that looks like, right? Beyond the physical, the sensual, but the emotional, the relational components, the spiritual components of intimacy. I got to ask, before we dive in and we talk about marriage, we talk about what it looks like to enhance intimacy, to build a love that lasts, where did this entire calling into kind of this marital field really come in, and why walk alongside of couples? Why is that a big passion of yours?
Yeah, we see too many hurting couples, and we see the results of it.
Yeah.
I see broken families. I see kids who are wrecked because of the way their parents' marriage was. Mm-hmm. And we want people to leave a legacy. And we see over and over again that average and mediocre is not good enough.
That's right.
Average marriages get divorced too often. Average businesses have too high a rate of turnover because of bad relationships and bad leadership. And relationships matter so much. And we think about, what's the foundation of our society? What's the foundation of a biblical Christian community? Man, it's marriage.
That's right.
It's marriage.
That's right.
It's the way that kiddos see their parents treating each other. And scripture supports that. And it talks to us about how, wow, what does God really want from us in this?
God wants godly children from our union. And I think sometimes there's scriptures, this is in the Old Testament, and we just kind of breeze over some of these. But if God wants godly children from our union, then he wants us to be godly that will be the example that that they see. And I see marriage ministry as an evangelical tool, that it is it is going to bring people to the Lord. Because if you have two people who are both pursuing the Lord and they have, I don't know, 1, 5 children, you know, you go, okay, you have all of these children that will be more likely statistically to follow the Lord. If both of us are Christians, then our kids are more likely to be Christians, and then they will influence others. And it's just this full quiver mentality that we get from the scripture that does spread the gospel, and it makes it easier. And we see there's less depression, less anxiety, less sexual activity,
less
by
addiction.
Teens, less addiction, all the things whenever kids have two parents who are together. And then you add the Christian piece that couples seek the Lord together, and really does help our society. And so we care about society, but we really care about the Lord
That's
and what
exactly
his
right.
way is. And so we're thankful that the Lord's promises prove true, that the Lord, his ways are right. And whenever we try to abide by scripture, though it's hard and we have to do it in faith sometimes, we can see the long lasting effects. And that's really powerful.
And we know that it can get better. Like, we've worked with enough couples and been with people in marriage workshops and individual coaching and counseling and therapy and working with couples. We know there are things that people can do. There are tools that you can put into your life. There are communication strategies that can make your life better, that can definitively make your kids' lives better. If you do the work, you can reduce the chances that your son or daughter will get a divorce by you working on your marriage. You'll be a better leader. You'll be more emotionally intelligent. You won't feel like you're hiding things. You'll be more transparent with the Lord. Your spiritual life will be better. Your sex life can be better. All of the things that God designed marriage to be and society to be can be fulfilled and improved through healthy marriages. It really can. We've seen it time and time again. So when we get excited about those things, it's almost like we see probably the most progress in the couples that we work with between like session 1 and 2. Like when it gets going, because they have an aha moment and we let them know that, no, we can work on these things. Because so many times couples spend a high percentage of their energy focusing on all the problems and just saying, well, I don't want to work on anything good because I just need to clean this up. I need to clean this up. And that kind of sounds like how people view spirituality too, right?
Yep.
But if they will recognize that they can have some good inputs into their marriage, they will see a notable difference in the quality of their relationship. And when we do that and we see the returns that people can get, not because we're so smart, but we're just God's word is true. And when you implement biblical strategies in relationships, they get better.
They get better.
They really do. We've seen people overcome separations and divorce and, the threat of divorce and affairs and addictions. And it can happen. And people get hopeless and they think that it can't, but it can.
It definitely can. And I'm 100% on the same line as you guys. I love walking alongside of couples. I love walking alongside of marriages and having people who come in who really feel like there is no hope and reminding them that we serve a God who is the great restorer, redeemer, repurposer, who can take broken things and make them beautiful again.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite things, is being able to breathe that life. And if they don't have hope, I always share with them, you can rent some of the hope that I have for you, because I know
absolutely
that God, right? That is hope, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And also what you were talking about, I saw a post recently that said the greatest gift you can give your children is to love your spouse.
Absolutely.
Because if you guys can model that love, as you guys are saying, and display it within your home, I'm reminded of a quote from my pastor, Pastor Jonathan Fowler at Thomas Road. What your parents do in moderation, your children will do in excess. And so it's, you know, whatever you're doing, if you're showing hate, if you're showing anger, whatever it is, you have influence on your children. If you are showing, though, love and forgiveness and grace and kindness and those type of, you know, relational ingredients to your spouse, to your wife, to your husband, man, that can mean all the difference in the development of your children as well. One thing we all know, though, as we walk alongside of couples, is that there are a lot of roadblocks. There are a lot of challenges that can sometimes arise that can make couples lose it, love. And I know you guys are big in the business of wanting couples to flourish, wanting them to find a resilient intimacy, a resilient love that ultimately lasts. But being in the front lines, Ashley, let me ask you this. What are some of the biggest challenges that you're seeing in terms of why couples are, in a sense, getting behind the eight ball and losing it, love?
Yeah. One of the things you said was that hopelessness. Yeah. I see hopelessness in a lot of different contexts. So sometimes it's an affair. Yeah. Oftentimes it is that my spouse just doesn't listen. I've said the same thing over and over again, or we've just grown apart. Some of these things that happen for different reasons. But we find that people get stuck in a negative space. Mm. That whenever they're hopeless, one of the things that we teach is switch theory, where we can switch back and forth between this positive and negative space. And as we understand the way that we are wired and then our sinful nature and kind of how we can get stuck in this rut or this negative pattern, I'm helping people see that it's not as personal that we're hopeless. It's an indication of where we are. Mm. And so sometimes we get into a negative space because we have really tragic things that happen to us. Yeah. There can be sexual abuse that makes a person not be able to engage in sexuality in the way that they were designed or that they should. You know, God made us to leave our father and mother and become one with our spouse. But if that has been messed up for a person, especially for years and years, they're going to have a sense of hopelessness and they're going to have a sense of trauma that they are fighting against. And so for us to talk with them and say, well, tell me the first time that you ever felt like it was difficult. They're like, I've never been able to enjoy it because this happened at this age. And for them to be able to say, no, my negative space makes sense. Like I can follow the path and figure out a little bit about how I can get there. We can't always figure out everything, but we can put words to it. And sometimes people feel like it's not worth it to even go there, or it feels unspiritual because why would I just drudge up all this stuff? We're supposed to forgive and forget. And so as counselors, as coaches, we want to encourage people that it is okay. You just want to find your safe place to talk about the things, because God is the God of breakthrough. He is the God of restoration. And the enemy wants us to think that we're out of hope. And when we're in that negative space, we think we've tried everything, nothing else will work. And to just reframe that and say, oh, no, that means I'm in a negative space.
Yeah.
Crawl my way back toward that positive space. And so we use worksheets to help people to just document, what does your negative space look like? What does your positive space look like? And help them to say, oh, I don't always actually feel this way. So maybe this isn't as true as it feels right now in my emotional state.
Sometimes it's doing the work that's developing emotional intelligence that can sometimes feel selfish. And we can think that it's almost less spiritual to focus on ourselves because we're taught so often to be selfless. But when you're not dealing with your wounds and the things that are going off course internally, you are less effective. And owning that and working through it. So what if you don't work on the things you need to work on and you cut your productivity, your impact in half or even more? But if you would spend a little bit of time and focus on the things that you need to focus on, you'd be significantly more productive and effective for the other people in your life.
Where there's no expectation, there's a greater level of frustration.
Absolutely.
Right? So being able to communicate those things at an effective and efficient manner is so imperative for couples to realize. And I love what you're saying too, Ashley, just about hopelessness, is just being able to remind people, and even what you're saying, Chuck, that healthy people are what make healthy relationships, right?
Yes.
We have to prioritize our holistic health as an individual so that way we can give the love that not only our spouse desires, but that our spouse deserves. Mm-hmm. So being able to prioritize those things is so necessary, and being able to really create and this foundation of a healthy, safe, and secure relationship. I love what we're saying, but like we've had to weather some storms in our marriage. Like pain has been rampant, but there are some moments that it's just difficult.
It's hard.
Pain is just always going to be there. Mm-hmm. You guys have weathered some storms. You write very openly and vulnerably about it in your book, I Used to Be. Mm-hmm. What are some of the lessons that you feel like God has revealed to you in the midst of your pain to reveal more about the character of his heart, but also some things that have molded and really shaped kind of the trajectory of your marriage today?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've had several things like you mentioned that we write about more in the book, but there was a break in trust before Ashley and I even got married. A couple months before the wedding, she found inappropriate images on my computer. And like that was a major break and trust, and something that we had to work through. And then later on, I'll let you talk about this a little bit more, some of those pains, but we'll tell you how we found growth in that in just a second.
Yeah, we had our two boys, and then we faced recurrent miscarriage in 2015, 16, and 17. And so loss after loss, hope after hope. You know, I had a saying in my room that says, let your faith be bigger than your fear. Yeah. And you know, I would say, okay, Lord, I don't know. I want your answer. I want your guidance. I don't want to keep trying and be like, I have to have a child. But I do believe that God wants us to raise godly children. And we stumbled upon wanting a third child because we weren't officially trying whenever we became pregnant with that third child, the first miscarriage in 2015. And so sometimes the pain that we face is brought on by sin. There's sin in the camp, and someone, you know, maybe it's one of the persons in the couple, you know, hurts us, or maybe it is, you know, a sin like sexual abuse or a job loss or some other pain that just makes money really tight and makes things feel just difficult. And then we have the pain of just how we're wired differently. Absolutely. You know, when you're dating, you're like, this is great. You're so different.
Puppy
and
love.
Like, yeah.
Wait a minute. You want to do what? Or you want to buy what?
Yes.
And so it's good and it's healthy at the beginning, it seems. But what we found is you have these unmet expectations, but you are fighting for a positive space. Like, you just are in denial in a lot of ways. Like, I don't want to see it. It's the puppy love. Yep. And so we try to work with people when we're doing premarital counseling or coaching to really look at those things and say, if there are red flags, it's better to talk about them.
Get them out. Talk about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for us, with the pain that we face, you know, we've continued to serve in ministry, but we have had a lot of hard times between us and, you know, just things that we went through, like in the ministry. We had a major affair. We had a church split where our family left the church, and we were on staff and kind of trying to navigate, like, helping in that way. And so we know so many people have church hurt, have all these things. I don't want to stay in listing all of the negative.
No,
everyone's going to get a little depressed. But but it is hard. Life is hard. And so as we were starting off and saying some of the wonderful spiritual things, you know, I started to feel like I want to make sure we get to this. So I appreciate your sensitivity and trying to talk about the heart, because sometimes we think, oh, I'm really struggling. Am I not doing it right as a Christian? And the pattern that we found, that we just want to bring God into it as quickly as we can.
Yes.
And we see Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they went and hid. And God still came and pursued them. He said, where are you? I said, oh, we realized we were naked and we were wanting to.
Who told you that?
Do this. And so we do the same thing. And what I realized, I'll ask a lot of individuals and clients, you know, say, you know, do you seek God more in a positive space or a negative space? And most people are one or the other, but that middle is where they kind of fade off. And they're like, oh, I mean, it's just a normal day.
It's really good. I say, thank you, Jesus. If it's really bad, I say, help me, God.
Yeah. And but people gravitate one. Like, I feel like I am most in a positive space, or I'm most close to God whenever I'm in a positive space.
Yeah.
And then whenever we've had some of these losses or in that moment, you know, I do feel like in the moment with pornography, that is probably the closest to God I've ever felt. I remember being on the floor bawling and going, I don't know if I can marry this man, but yet I felt like God was with me and he was going to help me navigate it. And I had a lot of compassion because I knew that we were at the altar together, that we're like the foot of the cross together, that we both need God. And so I saw his brokenness and his willingness to get help and accountability. And so I felt like that was the right spirit that I needed.
And as we've talked about this, we realized that even though we don't want the things to happen, there are good things that come from it. And I know that's sometimes difficult to hear. Would I go back in time and wish that I would have never done those things or developed those habits before I was a Christian? Absolutely. But do I appreciate the fact that I had a woman who loved me and stuck with me and let me work through it and get accountability and do those things? And I get to help other men now, even 17 years later, as we've been married? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm grateful that I get the privilege of doing it, even though it's not something I'm proud of from the past. And it's not always easy to talk about. And something similar with the miscarriages. Horrible. Do I want my kiddos? Absolutely. It's heartbreaking. But I can see the beauty in drawing close to God, even when times are hard, as we see in the pages of Scripture and the ministry that God has allowed us to have in speaking to people about pain and loss and losing little ones. And It's something that sometimes takes longer than we want it to, but trusting God in the process, that he's not going to waste a hurt,
exactly.
That he's going to see us and want to be close to us. And he gives us hope beyond things that feel hopeless in the moment and that feel crushing and feel just gut-wrenching. And he sees us and he loves us. And something about Job, and Ashley, you can pitch in here because you explain it a little better than I do, but we love the book of Job, how he is lamenting and he's talking about all of the horrible things that are happening to him and the things that he's lost. But the beautiful thing about it is they're all a prayer.
Yes. Yep.
They're all to God. And we practiced repeatedly in our marriage and before we got married, bringing God into our negative space, into the muck, into the gross, into the things that we wish nobody knew about, especially not this God that we view as being perfect and holy because he is.
Right.
And practicing continually bringing God into those moments and trusting the fact that he knows more than we do and he loves us regardless of how it feels, that's been something that we've experienced a lot.
Yeah, and I've wrestled with the story of Job. It's always been one of my favorite books.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Especially at the end in chapter 38 when we hear God finally chime in.
Yep.
And as a kid, I remember going, okay, God, you're not going to hug him. You're not going to say, I'm sorry for your loss.
I'm so sorry, Bubba.
Good job, you passed the test. Like, none of that. He says, brace yourself like a man. Who is this that questions
Gird
God
your
Almighty?
Loins.
Do you know the billy goats or these animals and how they run, and the ostrich, and how it is not got wisdom, but it is able to run past any horse and its horsemen. And in these waves, I told to come this far and no farther. And I, there's a part of me that is like, whoa, just listening to that and going, God, you know all these things. And yet there's another part of me that's like, but you still aren't like giving him a hug or comforting him. And what I realized is that God gave him what he needed. And so over the years, I went, you know, after reading it over and over again, I went from feeling like I'm almost frustrated with God and the way that he acted in that situation to just being in awe of how holy God is, and how even when we're hurting and we want someone to just sit and listen to us, which even his friends, though they did a lot wrong, they sat for 7 days in silence. Like, which
they
of
did
us
some good
have
things,
done that?
Some less good things too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think God really is right and holy.
Yes.
And it did humble Job, and Job said, I will cover my mouth. And he was repentant. And I think that that's often where we need to be. And so in God's presence, I am always humbled. Those are some of the powerful things that we can get when we go in our sorrow and we wrestle with scripture, and we don't have to just like fight for that positive space and like ignore. You're like, oh yes, just the Lord is holy. And you're like, no, dig with it. Dig in. And when you don't understand, tell God you don't understand.
Exactly.
Like, why? Why did you say this? Because in my wrestling over years and years and continuing to read the passages, you know, I feel like I've come to some answers. And I think that God does hide some things because he wants us to pursue him.
Yes.
And I think that he's not just hiding himself to be prideful or anything, but he wants us to seek him. And again, I'm still sorting out some of those things with the way that God is, but I think that it is powerful whenever we can say, I want to run back to God as soon as I can, when I sin, when I mess up, when I am in pain, but I also want to just search his scripture because he is speaking to us there.
Chuck and Ashley, where can people find more out about you guys and just some of the many resources that you guys have to offer? Because I know they will be blessed as soon as they find those. Chuck, where can they go?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find most all of it at chuckandashley.com. So you can find links to all of our social. You can find us on YouVersion. We're contributors for YouVersion. Bible Plans on there. Search our name. Right Now Media, lots of different places, all the places you find us. So chuckandashley.com.
Chuck and Ashley, my friends, thank you so much for all of the incredible work that you guys are doing. You know, from all of us here at the AACC, we love and appreciate you guys, and we are continuing to pray for you each and every day. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center, it's just life-altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a place of hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a place of hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A place of hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.